Actually, I'm a little nervous about this because he is my Facebook friend.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
I'll edit it out.
We did a game show together once. Oh. He was my celebrity partner on a game show.
Okay, well, I'll edit this out, and I won't put it at the beginning of the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
Damn it, I was so close to getting that right, and I'm Ian Boothby.
That's Ian Boothby, the interrupter.
So sorry about that. Sorry, listeners.
I accept your apologies. It will be better if you make an official written apology to me, though, that I can put in my file.
Okay. Will you accept an email?
No. It has to be written, handwritten.
All right. Fair enough. Let me get out my quill.
Yes. Quill and indie ink. Please start it, dear sir.
Or madam. I've never known.
to whom it may concern.
I really should have asked you that back in high school. I should have watched what washroom you walked into. But I never
knew. And I ain't saying now.
I wasn't asking, you weren't telling.
I like to keep my options open.
Yeah, we just came back from a big dinner, and we're both logy.
Okay.
Logy from food. I had some mashed potatoes.
You had...
I'm sounding a little drunk, but I think I'm mashed potato drunk.
That's all he had, actually.
I think I'm carbo-crashing, as the dietitians say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. Better than carb-crashing.
Oh, carb.
Ugh.
Who came up with that?
I don't even know what it is.
Oh, it's kind of a substitute for chocolate. Like,
well, I know it's a substitute for chocolate.
You know what? I really love chocolate. Hey, would you like something a lot less delicious? Yeah. How about carob? Why? Because there's no chocolate available? Oh, there's plenty of chocolate available. Then why would you ever have carob?
Because it's there.
And that's the no one ever treated vanilla that way. There's no poor man's vanilla, is
no,
there?
No, there's not.
There really isn't. If you have a strawberry, you have a strawberry, and then you have strawberry flavoring, which is kind of the poor strawberry equivalent. But you don't, you know, there's no equivalent to carob to strawberry. Only chocolate gets that kind of business.
So would carob to chocolate be the equivalent of vanilla extract to actual vanilla?
No, because vanilla extract is extracted from vanilla. If there was chocolate extract, that would be the equivalent.
That sounds good.
Chocolate extract.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't that exist?
I'm sure it does.
Hmm. What we do on this show is wish things into existence. Dave and I have our wish books out. Mm-hmm. We talk for about an hour, and then at the end of it, we decide what we want to wish for. Then Dave and I form a circle, put some jewels in the center, and wish as hard as we can. And last week, we wished that the internet had been around for about 15 years, and then it happened.
That's right.
Yeah, things happen retroactively.
Yeah, we're not saying that we actually make things occur in the future, just bring things retroactively into existence.
Yeah. The week before, Dave wished that dinosaurs were real.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, they were real.
They were real.
Yeah,
that's right.
Which really confused a lot of people. And there's been a lot of controversy ever since.
Yep. Like, where do they fit on the ark?
Exactly.
That's the question everyone wants to know.
I was talking to my wife, Pia.
I'll just say before you go on.
All right,
Where they fit on the ark was on the shuffleboard deck.
Why is that?
Well, that's where they were. That's because dinosaurs love shuffleboard. It's a well-known.
Okay, why didn't they make it to the end of the end of the trip?
I think there was a bit of a conflict over you know, they got in a fight.
Oh, and the T-Rex lost the fight?
T-Rex...
That's where your story makes no sense.
Well, the T-Rex, I think that's probably where it started with.
Cause... Unless germs were invited on the Ark. Were germs invited on the Ark?
I don't know.
Huh?
Seems sort of implausible.
Two of every germ?
It seems kind of implausible that germs were invited. I like the rest of the story,
this
which makes perfect sense.
This is where the story
it all falls
holds.
Apart.
Yeah, that's right. Now,
a boat big enough to hold all the animals in the world. Obvious.
Well, wait a second.
But germs, really?
Dave, are you using the King James Bible? Because in the King James Bible, Noah has a shrink ray.
Oh. Well, actually, the Bible I borrowed from a friend who's actually James King.
Mm-hmm.
Is that different?
That is a little bit different.
Oh, okay.
In the King James version, Noah uses a shrink ray, and he shrinks all of the animals into and puts them in little jars until you get to the end.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't know in the shrink ray. You don't know? They made a movie out of it, and Billy Barty was his partner in that. And I'm thinking of Dr. Shrinker.
You're thinking of the Sid and Marty Croft show.
Yeah, I'm thinking of
You're
Sid and Marty
Croft. You're getting the two
mixed up. I'm always confusing
I'm doing that too.
Sid and Marty Croft with the Bible.
I'm doing that too. I'm like telling the story of King David, and then I realize I'm actually describing Sigmund and the Sea Monster.
Okay. Now, who had the coat of many colors?
Joseph.
Joseph. And who fell into a magic hat and, like, frolicked with hats?
Noah?
That probably is true.
Okay.
Okay, and H.R. Puffin stuff, did he betray Jesus?
That's right. Yes, he got... He got 30 talking flutes.
Well, who wouldn't? What I was mentioning before was I'd go for that deal. When what happened
to you, really?
I think I would.
I'd be the ultimate betrayer for 30 magic flutes.
But I used to go to Catholic school, and this was something I really asked. Was they told?
I'm just saying that because you'd be a pig. Because really, one magic flute is enough for anyone.
Yeah, that's right. What's the one with the talking pigs?
The what?
Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web. Okay, Wilbur.
What book of the Bible is Charlotte's Web in? Is that after Corinthians?
Comes after Ruth.
I'm just saying, that's some pig. Mm-hmm. and then the other spider who was a dick wrote try above it. And they're like, try some pig. And everyone went, that sounds great. And then they ate Wilbur. It only makes sense if you know the story of Charlotte's Web. Yes. And I'm completely off where I was.
Yeah, well, I don't know where you're going with that.
Okay, well, I'll go to my original...
Written by Ebb White.
Yes. Hmm. I was talking to my wife about the Ark, and we brought up unicorns, and I went, oh, like the song Unicorn by the Irish Rovers. Mm-hmm. Never heard of it.
Really?
Never heard of it. This is when you have a younger bride, as I do. When you have a child bride, like I do. Sometimes your references do not land well.
It's not just that. It's just like, she's so lucky.
That she does not know
Not know that song. Yeah.
Oh, well, I disagree. I disagree with David on this. This is not the place for Irish Rover bashing. You know, that was a part of Canadian culture. Those of you who are not from Canada, we had a bunch of Irish folks for a while.
Who were a big part of Canadian culture.
Yeah, and they had specials like crazy. Mm-hmm. And they would do comedy sketches where they were leprechauns.
Do you know who else was a big part of Canadian culture?
Who?
The Australian performer Rolf Harris.
Oh,
another big part of Canadian culture.
Six White Boomers, Snow White Boomers, that fella?
Did he do that song? I think.
Nope, he did not.
No, he didn't do that song.
Not at all.
I think it was Timey Kangaroo Down Sport.
Sorry about
which
Six
featured
White Boomers.
Nope. Prominently the wobble board.
Yes.
But he also did, if you ever saw the TV show that he did here in Vancouver at CBC, mm-hmm. he would do giant paintings, and it was a segment called What Is It? And he would start painting the painting, and he would just do various colors. You know, each segment of the picture, the different colors, until it all worked out into a actual painting.
Now,
I loved that when I was a kid.
Now, was Rolf a common name at the time? Because the only two Rolfs I know are Rolf the dog from the Muppets,
yep.
As we discussed in episode one, mm-hmm. and Rolf Harris. And that's as far as Rolf goes.
One more. Rolf from The Sound of Music.
Who was he?
Wasn't that the boyfriend's name of the girl, the guy, the one who becomes the Nazi youth or whatever?
I don't think that was
turns
Rolf.
In the family. Isn't
was
his name
it?
Rolf?
Oh boy, I'm not quite sure. I will tell you.
I'm going to say it's right because no one can prove me any. No one can prove me wrong.
No, there's
no way they can. There's no place to look it up. There's no way to check it.
No, The Sound of Music was in the past. You
yes,
can't access.
You
the
can't
past.
Access
I ain't
it anymore.
Got a time machine.
Unless someone's going to do a revival in a theater, and maybe put it into 3D and bring it out again, mm-hmm. which seems unlikely because no one's going to do that to like classic films. Add 3D effects to them and re-release them in theaters.
No,
that's not going to happen.
Hollywood is all about respect.
Hollywood, it's right. It's about honoring the past. That is a big part of Hollywood's. I'm trying to think of a word now. It's ethics. It's ethos. That's what I'm looking for. A big part of its ethos is honor and respect.
I thought it was honor among thieves.
Honor among thieves. That doesn't sound very nice. That's not very respectful.
But speaking of Sound of Music, when I was...
Who was? We were. Oh, sorry.
Weren't we? Am I thinking of another episode? When I was a young lad, my mother would have us watch Sound of Music, my mother and father. It was a collaborative effort on their part.
I suffered the same fate.
We would watch that, but we mm-hmm. could only stay up till about 9:30, so I never knew that the Nazi boyfriend betrayed them until years later. And then I watched the film all the way through and went, what? And like I never knew he was a jerk.
I thought you were going to say when you saw the play performed at our school.
Oh, what did it get performed at? Mm-hmm. Now, what school are we talking about here?
At junior high school.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, that's true. I think I did go to see that performance.
There you go. And you stood. That's why you stood up and you're like, Judas! And you like pointed at him and everyone was just like, what's the heck?
No, I was watching Godspell.
Oh, okay. Oh, and you're just
and
pointing
I went,
out.
I know the guy playing Judas.
What's the difference?
Do that song again. Does Judas get a musical number in Godspell?
He does.
I love silver. I love silver. Gold. I love silver. Now I'm gonna hang around. That's where I was going. Was when I was in Catholic school, and they told us the story of Judas, and he gets the how many pieces of silver? 20?
30 pieces.
30. Well, he talked it up. Good for him.
That's right. His agent got a percentage. Okay. That's why you're thinking 20.
That's right. Morty, Judas's agent.
Listen, this is the big pot for you.
That's right. Someone's got to betray Christ, and it's you or Barabbas. So Judas gets the money, 30 pieces of silver, which I assume is a fair amount of money.
I think in those days.
Sure.
It was a lot.
And
I don't know, but I don't know inflation during the times of Roman occupation of Israel. It may have been like the Weimar Republic where everyone's, carrying silver around in wheelbarrows.
Dave, that's for our Weimar cast.
Oh, sorry. I'll save that for the Weimar cast.
So I'm in Catholic school. I've got a couple of nuns in the room because that's
I like where this story is going.
Yeah. I don't know if you will.
Okay.
And so they tell us the story and they go, and then Judas hanged himself and in sorrow and all that. And it was like, oh, okay. And I'm the kid who is like, have you got any questions? And I raise my hand and I ask, what happened to the money? Because I'm just curious, did he hang himself with the money?
Hanging from a belt?
Yeah.
Where is he going to put it?
Yeah, are you going to throw the money away? Are you going to give it away? Mm-hmm. What happened to the money?
He ate it.
Apparently, that's not the question to ask.
No, not.
I got a lot of big nun eye rolls, and I'm like a real jerk for asking what happened to the cash.
Well, I think it's just that writer part of you that's so interestingly came out when we were talking about the lady or the tiger, and, you approach the story from a completely different angle than most people would.
What is the thread that is left dangling that we have not dealt with?
Yeah, so that's the thing. So they're like, what about the money?
Well, that was an idea I had once upon a time for a series of kind of horror-type stories, was like, what happened to the money? And you follow this kind of cursed money through history and where it went. And then, but my other idea was you follow the furniture that Jesus made and see where it went. Because he made some
furniture.
Well,
yeah, he made furniture.
He made furniture. Well, from what I've heard, the word for carpenter is also the word for teacher. So there's a variety of things.
Well, actually, the particular word that's used for carpenter in the Bible to describe Jesus is a craftsman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more than just a person who was like a house framer.
Okay.
He would have been someone who worked on, doing fine carpentry.
Okay. Well, then he must have made some furniture. He must have made some things. What happened to that? What happened to all those things? And that'd be kind of neat, is if you found out, like, hey, that table, Antiques Roadshow, this table, and would it surprise you to learn that Jesus made this table?
It's got a little branded thing that says handcrafted by Jesus.
That's
on the bottom of it.
Mm.
You ever seen those things wood workers can buy? They're like a little iron that will brand the wood with a little, their name and
no, I have never, no.
Well, now
I don't
That's
care.
That's a Christmas gift for anyone who has a woodworker in the family.
I had a horrible time in wood shop as a youth, and so
me too.
Why was your problem? You're crafty.
Not then. I mean, now I can fake it.
Yeah,
I can make a box.
Like, if you ever end up going to Dave Dedrick's house, and I would, it's very, very nice.
Invite him.
Well, I think if you listen to this podcast and you subscribe to this podcast, that is an open invitation to drop by.
That's right. Come on by.
I'm not going to say I don't even know if you're in the phone book. Let's not even go there. But anyway, if you go there, he's made a lot of his own, he's got a drawing table that he made, and it's beautiful. I've only seen photos of it, but it's beautiful.
Right.
You got shelves
heavily doctored,
you made.
Heavily photoshopped pictures of my.
Yeah. That was something that dads, because you are a dad, that's something dads used to be able to do. It was like, toaster's broken. You don't take it somewhere.
No,
dad fixes
fix
the
it.
Toaster. You
I
know,
can do that.
Portable radio, got to fix it. Lawnmower's broken, going to fix it. Going to put up some shelves, going to make some shelves.
I can do that.
And dads could do that, and I've never become a dad. So I don't think – I think once you become a father, all of a sudden your child is born, you look at them, and then you absorb knowledge from them. Somehow they come out of the womb, and you absorb knowledge, and now you can fix everything MacGyver style.
Well, I think actually what it is when the baby's born, you're suddenly given this strange sense of false economy. And suddenly it makes sense for you to – spend 3 or 4 or 6 months building a series of bookshelves for your downstairs when you could just go to IKEA and for less buy several bookshelves.
Now, how do you do that? Do you just wing it or do you do some research or is it trial and error? Like, how do you...
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Well, okay.
I'm talking to the... Okay, Dave, here's the thing.
Yep.
There's only two of us here at the Hell Kitty Studios.
Okay.
Just assume when I ask a question.
But what
it's
I
not
meant,
completely rhetorical.
What I kind of meant
I
was...
I am talking to you.
My
if
question
you want, I
was
can go
rhetorical.
Across the hall and talk to James.
My question was rhetorical, because what I was saying was, You're talking to me, the master improviser, Mr. Non-Planner?
I see. I wasn't sure if you were talking taxi driver style.
I'm a creative. That's right. You talking to me? Are you talking to me?
That is a really good Robert De Niro.
It wasn't even an attempt.
Hi, are
it
you talking? Me. Are you talking to me? Hey, what's with all these little fuckers? I'm Robert De Niro.
Thank you. Thanks. Is that what I sound like?
Yeah.
No, here's my Al Pacino.
Okay, go ahead. Dave will not tell you how to build a shelf.
I'm quitting Sneaky Dragon. This is it.
Do you know what a cubit is?
When
if God did speak to you and went, build me an ark, it's this many cubits.
No idea.
But you'd get on it. You know how Noah could do that? Because he was a dad, and dads know
and
how to build an ark.
Cubits existed as a unit of measurement in those days.
And a video game.
No one knows what they are.
A very bad video game.
Cubit, yeah.
The first swearing video game character.
When I built the shells, I totally winged it. Completely winged it. But, you know, it's not that hard to build bookshelves because basically they're just boxes that you put shelves on. Mm-hmm. So you're building a four-sided thing that may or may not have a back on it.
Yours have a back on?
Yeah, the first set I made had a back on it.
Very good.
And you just push it against the wall. And what I did was that I made it in units. And so, say, if I needed 5 units, I made 3 units that were all the same size, and I placed them all equally along the wall. And then I measured the space that didn't have a bookshelf, and I made bookshelves to fill that space.
Ah, okay.
So that's how I did it.
That's quite
so
clever.
I didn't have to do any measuring, or as much measuring then, because I didn't have to, try and figure out and subtract, do this. And I just put it together like that. So, yeah, it was fairly clever.
Now, my mother-in-law made us some shelves, mm-hmm. and they were beautiful. They were very, very, very nice, mm-hmm. except they all were leaning forward. They had a bit of a lean to them.
Okay.
And so we shoved newspaper underneath to balance it out. And
why didn't she use, like pieces of angled wood?
Because I'm not a father,
figure
that out.
Sorry.
So we just shoved newspaper underneath there. Angled wood would be good. Where would I get angled wood?
Any hardware store will have shims. For sale.
Again, you're using shims.
Yeah.
That's you're miles
just
beyond
think of a,
me.
Just think of
Why don't
a shingle.
You pick up some angled shims. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should pick up some angled shims.
Yeah.
That's what I should do. You know, shims and cubits to me are in the same category of I don't fucking know. Hey.
Well, I'm sorry to bring it up.
Yeah, if I'm going into a
hardware
store.
Sorry to expose your ignorance.
Yeah, I'm going to walk into a hardware store. Hey, fellas, you got some shims? And they'll
That's a good idea.
Fraud. Yeah. And they'll just take me to the back and put me on the bandsaw.
That's a good idea.
Fellas,
do you know
you
that?
Some shims.
Do you know that before the internet?
What quadrangle do ye need?
Do you know that before the internet, people would walk into places of expertise and ask them questions?
And then they'd sneer at you.
No, they would not sneer at you. No, they would not sneer at you.
Oh, I was disagree.
I was putting a new sink in a couple of months back in the bathroom downstairs.
Because you are a father.
Because I'm a father and I have the knowledge. Only I didn't know how to fix the sink to the plumbing that came in from.
Okay.
And so I had to go to the hardware store and I said, I am putting in a sink. And I need to have some way to attach it to the pipe.
And they said, you need a quadjoint. What kind of quadjoint do you need with the mind angle? And then I went in the corner and wept. That's what would happen to me. But you, on the other hand, what happened?
Yeah, he said, well, this is what you need. And he took it off the shelf and he handed it to me. I went in and purchased it. Mm-hmm. I took it home. I put it on. And it works just fine.
Good on you.
It's that simple.
Yeah, back in the day, fathers, if sink needs fixing, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. Well, and then I'm going to do my own taxes.
Yeah, I'm not at that point. Me and math, we're two trains on two different tracks. And I don't mean that we're meeting each other and passing each other. I mean, we're side by side going in the same direction, but...
Yeah, mothers could cook everything, and fathers could build everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, we're bringing the bike... For you, for Christmas, and Dad would build the bike.
Yeah, I have to put it together.
Put together a bike.
Why not?
Why wouldn't you not know how to put together a bike?
Easy.
With your background of, not knowing how to do that, but now you do know.
Well, that's something that often baffles me is when people talk about going to...
Baffling? What's that mean? That's the thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's sound barriers.
Yeah, sound barriers, baffling. Get some baffling.
We could use some in here.
Are you telling me to shut up?
Your attitude is baffling.
Okay.
No, what baffles me is when people talk about going to IKEA and having trouble putting together the shelving units they buy. Like, I can't understand the instructions. I'm just scratching my head. You're making a box. You are making a box. Well, make a box, follow the instructions, and make a box.
Okay, the difference being, when you are building something from, say, scratch, you are using proper tools. You are using, say, a screwdriver for the screws.
Yeah.
You are using maybe a Phillips head for a Phillips head screw.
Oh, never use a Phillips head. They suck.
And that is something you know that I do not know. Mm-hmm. But with IKEA, they give you the Allen wrench or Allen key, and you've got to use that, and that's just ridiculous. That's just ridiculous, and that's where things fall apart. That's the starting
point. No, an Allen key's fine. I mean, it's equivalent. What if they gave you the Allen key in the shape of a screwdriver that had an Allen key tip on it? Wouldn't that be the same?
No. What if you just used a screwdriver? How about a proper screwdriver?
Well, there are different kinds of screwdrivers. You can have a flathead screwdriver, which is probably the oldest kind of screwdriver and the least efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You can use a Phillips head screwdriver, which is the star-shaped screwdriver, or you can use the vastly superior Robertson or square drive or square head screwdriver.
Here's what happens when you get an...
Or there's the Torx head screwdriver, which is like the multi-star...
Invented by Peter Tork of the Monkees.
Peter Tork of the Monkees, that's right.
There's the Nesmith head screwdriver. There is the Jones.
Jones screwdriver.
And there is the Dolenz.
The Dolenz, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. And the Dolenz one imitates James Cagney. What are you using?
Way too much.
way too much. Yes, exactly.
Actually, I'm a little nervous about this because he is my Facebook friend.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
I'll edit it out.
We did a game show together once. He was my celebrity partner on a game show.
Okay, well, I'll edit this out, and I won't put it at the beginning of the show.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Wait a minute, Now, here's what I think happens. When you go to IKEA, and you get your IKEA box, and you open it up, and then you pull it out, and they've got cartoons in there, and an Allen key, and all of a sudden you go, I'm 5. You just sense memory. It's like someone giving you a pair of safety scissors. Like, I can do things with regular scissors that if you told me, like, say, to do some cooking, and then you gave me, like, a weird plastic knife, you know, I probably could still cut a lot of things, but I'd go, you think I'm dumb, and now my confidence is gone, and you're treating me like I'm, like, you know, a child, so I'm probably going to dumb up. And that's what happens. I think once you open the box and you see those instructions and you see that Allen key, you just durr. and then all of a sudden tears are you know, oh my gosh. Have you ever built an IKEA thing with someone that you love or at least loved before you built an IKEA thing with them?
I just do it by myself.
I'm
too bossy to work with people.
They have these tests sometimes if a couple wants to get married, where it's like, we're going to have a series of tests for you to see if you're compatible.
Yep.
All you got to do is like bring a bookshelf from IKEA, give it to the couple, and just go, build it. And if you can build it together without fighting and crying...
They will come?
I don't want to go that far.
Okay.
But then you can get married. Then you get married.
Oh, really?
You got to build some IKEA furniture together.
Yeah.
Then you can do it.
What if the husband just does it by himself while the wife sits reading the newspaper?
Well, I think that is a series of fetish photographs that are on the web.
Whoa, sounds interesting. I'll have to look that up. So it's IKEA
plus spank
plus. I don't think you'd get anything. That's a name of a lamp at IKEA.
I did know someone who did get a lot of their fetish tools from IKEA. On a complete side note, we're going to IKEA. Fantastic. And you almost go like, oh, I'll come with you. No, I won't.
No.
Then you realize the person you're talking to, no, I won't. I'm fine. You don't need anything? Nope. Do you want me to pick you up some meatballs? Hell no. You are not giving me any food. Nope. Not at all.
You could still go for the dollar yogurt.
You can get a full breakfast for a dollar.
Do you really think breakfast, a full breakfast for a dollar, sounds that appetizing?
It does. It's basically like a dollar steak in Vegas. You know that they think they're going to make the money off you gambling, so that's why they're giving you a steak.
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with a steak because they've got no. See, here's the thing: if they give you a I know what you're saying. You're going, I'm getting a shitty breakfast. That's what you're thinking. I'm going to get a shitty breakfast, but no, it doesn't make sense for them to give you a shitty breakfast because if you get a shitty breakfast, sorry for saying shitty so much. If you get like a really bad breakfast, then your stomach's going to go, oh, let's get out of here. I can't walk around and look at all this stuff. Let's just go. So you never get to the impulse aisle. What they want is they want to give you the energy to go, I could go all day. And you make it through
the
whole
store. This is your stomach
saying
this still, right?
That's right. I can go all day. So you go the whole way, and then you get to the impulse, and you start buying all that stuff too. And that's how they get you. It's like Vegas. They don't want to give you a bad steak. They want to give you a good steak. So you go, I feel great. I'm going to play the slot. And then they make their money back that way.
Okay, well, now that you've told us a story from the point of view of your stomach, later on in the show I'll do one from the point of view of my upper leg. But not yet. That'll come later.
Okay.
That'll come later.
Welcome to Thigh Chat.
What's our other podcast?
That's right, Thigh-Fi.
Thigh-Fi. Semper Thigh.
All right. Any one of those, none of those are good. We'll keep spitballing those. We'll fix this in editing.
Yeah, don't worry.
That's right.
This will come out. We'll only put this at the beginning of the show.
I'm always worried. What you going to put at the beginning of the show?
Really?
Yeah. Dave edits the podcast, so he'll take whatever and he'll put it at the beginning of the show. And normally it's fantastic, but it's always a little bit of a worry knowing that that's going to be the icebreaker. Like, again, our first show, you put me swearing like a sailor at the beginning, and we got so many complaints. I think we got one.
We got one.
Complaint. And you make me look terrible. Yep. And we shocked a child.
That was my goal.
Well, then goal achieved.
Not
as,
shocking.
As we say in
not
Canadian
shocking
hockey,
the child, making
Canadian
it look
hockey,
bad.
When you get a goal, you go, goal achieved.
Goal achieved.
Well done. And then the smattering of golf applause goes through the arena. Well done.
Yay.
And then the goalie.
Surely good.
Yeah, the goalie shrugs his shoulders. And then the person who scored the goal apologizes to the goalie.
That's right. He's like,
they
oh,
shake
sorry,
hands.
Man. Sorry, man.
Then we all join hands and we circle the ring, stop where you are, give your honey a swing. And that's just a little bit of square dancing.
So they start square dancing during the hockey game.
That's right. And just a little bit of square dancing to some stompin' Tom Connors.
If you're ever curious why there are bales of hay on the ice during a hockey game, now you know why.
Oh, they know why. It's you have a place to put the octopus. When people throw the octopus on the ice.
I was just going to say, that's actually, and in Florida, they throw rats on the ice.
No, they don't.
Yes,
do they
do.
Oh, because they're big fans of that Martin Scorsese movie?
I don't think they're real. I hope they're not real rats. Wouldn't that be terrible if they're like live rats being thrown out into the ice?
That is horrible.
But apparently there are rats.
That is so Mad Max.
There are rats in the dressing room.
And welcome. It's
arena.
The rat portion of the just hucking rats. That's awful.
Oh, these terrified rats.
Did someone, like I know sometimes in sports they have hat day where you throw your hat in.
Not hat day.
Did
it's a
someone,
hat trick.
No, but someone threw their hat. Yeah, but they throw their, well.
If someone scores three goals in the game, it's a hat trick and people throw their hats on the ice.
They don't have a hat day.
They don't have a hat day.
Okay, so it's a hat trick.
You're thinking of Dr. Seuss.
Here's what I'm thinking is happening then.
Okay.
People are hearing hat trick, and they're thinking rat trick.
That's the
and
problem.
And so someone like, I didn't bring a hat. No, it's rat trick. Okay, pick up rat, throw rat.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, you just throw a rat because it's like terrifying to have a rat run across your feet in the middle of your game.
Yeah. Well, some goofball was throwing salmon on the ice here. When the Canucks scored a goal, he'd throw a salmon out on the ice.
That's expensive.
It seems kind of wasteful, yeah.
Well, same with an octopus. An octopus can't be that cheap, can it? Octopus is a smart animal. That must be a hard animal to catch.
Well, especially in Detroit. I don't think they're that common there.
How do you catch an octopus? Dave used to be a fisherman.
Well, thinking about it
and
now.
And I'm a fisherman's friend.
Fisherman's friend. It does explain why there's always those missing posters of the aquarium in Detroit for the poor octopus that just keep disappearing.
Well, I've seen I've been told an octopus can get out of anything that if there's a hole as big as its eye, it can fit through. So, what kind of net do you use to catch an octopus? Like,
well, you don't. You entice them. You entice.
Seduce
you play.
Them?
You play seductive. Celine Dion's "My Heart Will Go On."
Right, and they just. But they're running away.
They just crawl out of the water to cover the speaker. They just put themselves over the speaker and muffle it.
Oh, that's
it's
nice
a natural. Thing. It's a natural reaction. It's almost like I'll take one for the team, and they just kind of climb up, cover it.
I think octopus are too smart. Like that, we shouldn't eat them. I think they're just too intelligent. That just seems wrong to me.
Why? What makes you think they're intelligent?
Oh, just because of the cleverness of being able. Oh, you see them like you get to put a jar out, and you put anything in the jar, they will figure out how to do that. And they've done the intelligence tests on octopus, and they're quite smart. Also, I think they can predict who's going to win sports games.
I don't think they're that smart.
What do you think they can do?
I think they just test well.
I almost did a joke about the other fish and schools. I almost did that, and then I went, what are we, a nursery freaking school podcast? Am I going to do that kind of joke?
Yes.
Nope.
Why not?
Nope.
Go for it.
Nope.
Go.
Nope. Done.
Do it.
Done.
No.
Done with that.
I want to hear it.
They just test well. No, that makes sense. What animal in the sea tests the worst?
The worst? You mean like dumbest animal or just?
Nope, just tests the worst.
Tests the worst.
Right, it's time for a pop quiz. What animal goes, oh, no, not like the manta ray?
Sperm whale.
Why?
They're always distracted.
Well, everyone's making fun of their name.
Exactly.
It's a tough first day at school.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, all right, everybody, we've got starfish.
Tarzan,
manta ray.
Woo.
I'm here. Yeah. Angelfish. Yeah. Sperm whale. Just call me a whale. Hey, spermy.
That's right.
Yeah. But he's kind of big, so they can't beat him up.
No.
You know, so he's that kid. He's the kid. He's the big kid mm-hmm. that doesn't get along with
the doofus.
Which is almost like sadder.
The dictionary definition is doofus. Mm. Such a person.
Oh, poor yeah. whale.
We can all feel sorry for him. While we're mocking him.
I don't feel sorry for feel sorry for any animal, frankly, in the ocean because, you know, as I said.
It's their choice?
Well, every... You know what? Hey.
They went back.
This thing. Yeah, we evolved. Okay?
They went back.
We showed them the way. Mm-hmm. We went, hey guys, look at all the land. And they went, no, I'm good. Cool.
No, I'm good.
Cool.
They're the ultimate conservatives. Like, that's good enough here. Yeah. I don't need to go out there.
Yeah, what's up there? What's so great?
What's so great? You know who are the... Actually, you know who the ultimate conservatives are?
In nature?
Inuit.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because... They're people.
By the way, Dave, they do not live under the sea. Do you think the Inuit?
No, I'm,
Dave is always confusing
I'm getting
the Inuit
them mixed up with mermaids.
With Atlantans.
Yeah, I'm thinking of mermaids.
Okay. Shoot. All right.
Sorry.
Wait, when you saw The Little Mermaid.
Yes.
And you kept asking me, where's the igloos? Was that why?
That was why.
Oh.
I know, it was
okay.
confusing. I was a little, I was mixed up. I often do get confused. No, I was just going to say, let me just continue on.
Okay.
With the ultimate.
When you give me an Eskimo pie. Is that the reason it was wrapped in seaweed instead of chocolate?
That's right. And you're like, this is more like sushi than Eskimo pie, Dave.
All right. I'm not saying it was bad. I'm just saying it was confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. I was going to say, I'm going to keep repeating this until I have a chance to say what I was going to say.
You edit this thing. You can put it in however you want.
I can. I'm going to put it at the beginning of the show. I'm going to edit out everything that happened before now, and it's going to start with this.
All right.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I just want to say that... No,
that
what I was going to say...
Inuits live under the sea.
Inuits live under the sea. And anyone, who can deny me? Prove it. Prove it wrong.
First Nations people live on the moon.
There's no place to prove it. You can't go anywhere and prove me wrong. There's no information that tells us what's going on.
The Dutch live in Earth's molten core.
That explains everything.
That's why Dutch chips are crispy chips.
Really?
That's so close.
Doesn't even make any sense.
Okay. Go.
I was just going to, because, you know, okay, you have this group of people. They walked across the land bridge thousands and thousands of years ago. They got to the coldest, most desolate place on Earth, and they thought, that's good enough. The other people said, you know what? I'm going on. There must be something better than this. These guys are like, no. You guys are crazy. What's going to be? Is this going to be worse? It's going to be more snow. You think this is bad? Wait till you go south. It's going to be even worse. At least we have whale blubber we can gnaw on here. We can build houses out of ice. Down there, it's a nightmare. I'm staying right here, where it's comfortable and freezing, and there's murderous polar bears running all over the place. That's where I'm staying.
Well, I was reading a little bit of the history of the Inuit people, and what it started with was one couple, the woman was always saying, is it hot in here or is it just me? And the guy was so sick of hearing that he just went, you know what, let's just stay here where she can never say that again.
Mm-hmm.
And she and him had a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do when a couple breaks up, because they were like a long-term couple, you can't, you know, you lose the friends as well. And so the friends paired with her and went, yeah, that guy's a jerk. We're leaving. Like, well, enjoy your, you know, I'm going to stay here. I love it here. He really didn't. But you're so far into the argument where you're going, I think it's great here. Well, why don't you live here? Maybe I will live here. Well, why don't you like build a house out of ice? Maybe I'll build a house out of ice. Well, why don't you eat like seal's eyeballs and stuff? Yeah, well, I will eat seal's eyeballs. Maybe I will do that. Well, why don't you dress in furs? Maybe I will dress in furs. And so he was so committed to it that he started to build the igloo at the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, see, I'm doing it. I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Okay.
And she and her friends just kept walking.
So he was by himself.
No, he had his friends. And
Oh, his friends stayed there.
And again, it's like your jerk-ass friend starts a fight, and then you've got to like back him up because you're, you know, bros before Eskimos.
Yep.
And so she ends up leaving.
Yep.
And that's how it all started. And a couple of gals stuck around as well because they didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And that's how that started. And
they were girlfriends of the other friends of this guy who so pigheaded. Well, it makes sense that just
they were like some of them were floozies. Some of them were floozies. Oh. You know, they just give a nose job like that, just real cheap.
That's that cheap, eh?
Yeah.
Wow. It is easy.
Yeah, you could almost see their whole face, you know, in the outfits they were wearing. It's just terrible. Okay, which brings us to a new segment on the show. Is this racist?
No.
I'm not sure.
No.
All right, let me just say one thing to our listeners before we get into that. You don't know what we look like.
No.
We could both be Inuit.
That's right. We could be. You don't know what we look like.
You don't at all.
You don't at all.
So when I mentioned David and his home, maybe those bookshelves are made out of ice.
That's right. That's what I was talking about. I was cutting ice and nailing ice.
Okay, it's time for my nerd moment of the show.
Okay.
Green Lantern, Hal Jordan's Green Lantern. Him? You know, if you were a superhero, say in the 40s, and you had a sidekick, there was a fair chance your sidekick was a racist stereotype. But as you got along to the 60s, less so.
Okay.
Except for Green Lantern. Now, Green Lantern had a weird thing where his sidekick was not a real big stereotype, but he was Inuit. And so Hal Jordan called him Pie Face, as in short for Eskimo Pie Face.
That was his name.
No, he had a proper name.
Proper,
but he
name,
just called him Pie Face because, you know, hey, you're an Eskimo. And it was just this like blatant, weird, racist thing that Hal Jordan had. And then over the years, occasionally they ditched that character as soon as they could because they went, "What are you doing? Get him out of here!" And then occasionally he'd come back and they'd mention, "Remember when you called me Pie Face? Yeah, never do that again." Oh,
sorry. Oh, really? They brought him back.
They confronted. They confronted.
Green they confronted Lantern. That past.
Yeah,
oh, that's good.
Green Lantern's two weaknesses were the color yellow and racism.
Hmm.
He was quite racist back in the day. Yeah, so that's my nerdy thing of the day for there. Green Lantern.
One of the more it's kind of boring, isn't he? Green Lantern.
It depends if you like the color green. Wait, you know what? He's no Harvey character. He's no little dot. He's no I like dots. And what else? That's about it.
That's it.
That's about it. How long did that series run? Decades.
Decades, yes.
Decades.
Yeah.
Hey, I really fancy dots.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look at this. I bought you a house. Oh, yeah, a house. Can we put some dots on it? End of story. Or other story. Hey, someone stole my dotted object. Is it over there? Yes. End of story. That was writing a Harvey story back in the day.
Well, you're talking to a person who absolutely loves Harvey stories.
Yeah? Did you like the little dot ones?
Well,
remember the one when she was on a boat? Dot boot? That was great.
That was a good one, all right. Well, it's just I never liked superhero comics at all as a child or as a teenager.
Did you like superhero TV shows? Did you like watching an Incredible Hulk?
I guess I did watch that.
Did you like a Spider-Man cartoon?
Yes.
How about a Super Friends?
Yes.
Then why did you not like the comic book?
I don't know. I just found them too dark and too.
Dave, could you not read?
Too complicated. I could read. They just look messy. To me, they just look full of words and all messy looking. I liked Harvey, like Richie Rich or Archie. You know, had a really clean look to it, and that was really appealing to me.
How about you're looking at the Harvey universe. Who is a better character, Little Dot or Little Lotta?
Little Lotta.
I will agree with you. Mm-hmm. What do you think makes Little Lotta better?
It's just a funnier premise, I think, from the get-go. And she had more personality.
Well, she also did two things that made a lot of sense.
Okay.
Like, if you're a kid, like a lot of reading comics is fantasizing. Like, Richie Rich, I want to be the richest kid in the world and have an Iron Maid and I have a butler and we do all these crazy adventures. You know, if you're reading Archie, you know, of a certain age, I'd like two girlfriends who are, like, throwing themselves all over me. That sounds great. You know, hey,
Well, it does get tiring after a while.
All right, Little Dot. Hey, I'd like to like dots. Boo, doesn't work. Little Lotta. Hey, I'd like to eat anything I want and get incredible strength and have no one. That was the thing with Little Lotta. Anytime anyone called her fat, she would kick their ass.
Mm-hmm.
She would just she would pick them up and throw them over a mountain. She was incredibly strong. So two things kids like. One, eating everything that you want.
Yeah.
Delicious food, and two, you're incredibly strong. So Little Lotta makes sense as a cartoon, as a comic book character. Little Dot, not a lick of sense.
No, it's not that appealing. I mean, I guess she's kind of cute or whatever. She kind of looks like Wendy or Richie Rich's girlfriend, Gloria.
Yeah, Gloria.
So they had a similar design.
Did Gloria have money?
No.
Okay.
She's sort of middle class. She's not poor like Freckles and Pee-wee.
Right.
They lived in like a wooden box or something like that and delivered newspapers.
But they lived in a wooden shack. They lived in a shack in the good part of town because Richie Rich just lived like right up from them. So it was like
that's the way the world was in those days.
Oh, like you'd have a shanty town right next to a mansion?
Well, those things were more squished together.
Because they're clearly in a shanty town.
They're in a shanty shack. I don't think that they... It doesn't seem that there's that many poor people there. Like if you're looking at...
They seemed poor.
They're very poor. But I think
which
you look
is
at
weird. Is that not
I'm not disagreeing with you. And they had parents.
Yeah, they had parents.
There are cartoons that feature their mom and dad.
Well, all, yeah.
Who were also poor. It wasn't just the kids who were poor. The parents were also poor.
Right. Richie Rich
Which is unusual, I've heard.
Right. Richie Rich also had parents, which is a good thing in a... Mm-hmm. Casper, of course, had no parents.
No.
Hot Stuff, different. I think, had aunts and uncles. Little Lotta Casper had his Little Dot did have parents.
He had his cousins or his brothers or whatever. Casper had...
Well, he had his cousin Spooky.
Yeah, but there were also like those other kind of more grown-up ghosts that...
Oh, you're talking the ghostly trio?
Yeah.
They must, were they related to... I don't think they were.
Well, they weren't related? I can't speak
and
to
I've
that.
Written a Casper movie. I don't
so
think
you they, should know that.
I know that cousin that Spooky was his cousin, mm-hmm, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the ghostly trio are related to Casper. I think they just happen to be like ghosts as well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't think they're related to each other.
I was never a huge Casper. Casper's kind of dull.
Wow. Casper's kind of dull. He can turn invisible. He can walk through objects.
Eh.
He can't. You're right. He's kind of dull. Richie Rich, stronger than Casper.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, he had more opportunity. I mean, you could have funny stories. But you could also have like adventure stories with Richie Rich,
mm-hmm,
because you know there's him getting kidnapped, or you know some sort of invention that gets seized by criminals, or just criminals trying to rob the mansion.
All right. Well, now explain something to me that I've never understood. I actually thought as a child that I would understand this as an adult, but I do not.
Well, a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go on.
Okay. Yeah. Explain that to me afterwards. okay. Richie Rich always had the little slogan, like Casper was the friendly ghost.
Yes.
Okay,
the poor little rich boy.
Wendy, the good little witch, right? And mm-hmm. Casper, I'm sorry, and Richie Rich was the poor little rich boy.
Well, because
explain what was poor about him.
Well, think about him. Like, do you remember watching The Little Rascals, or when you were a kid, or right. Our Gang, or however you want to call it?
Which is and really there was a shame. Like Robert Blake was in The Little Rascals,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And whenever people talk about, did you ever see this coming? What he was doing? Yeah, he was in a gang as a kid. So yeah, it's clearly. Yeah.
So. There is always a character in those shows who's a boy who's a fancy pants.
Right, the snobby fancy pants.
But he's not snobby. He wants to be with the other kids.
Right.
But he's not allowed by his snobby mother, who wants him to practice the violin. So if you look at early stories of Richie Rich...
I've never seen those. I've read old Richie Rich. Okay. I would like you to find me the story where Richie Rich like tries to make a friend, and the friend goes, hey, fuck off. Yeah, try and find me that. That happens like in Casper constantly. Where
no, that doesn't happen.
And
Richie
like,
Rich is it's a different fantasy. But there is a story of him like having to practice violin, and then he creates some way of fooling his mom, and he goes and plays baseball with the boys outside, and then he comes back in.
The boys outside playing baseball, mm-hmm, they gladly go, hey Richie, what's up? Not just like, hey you jerk. Like everyone, he's not.
I think there's a little bit of hostility.
Okay,
but he has to overcome it.
He's friends with he's Freckles not the, and Pee Wee.
Ian,
yes.
He's not the enemy. Okay, these were written pre 1%, right?
This is before they had 1%.
This is before.
Milk,
this is before
is
people. You
did
know,
they have homogenized milk?
That's right. This is before we began demonizing whole segments of our population. This is when.
Wait, is that where Hot Stuff comes from?
Yeah,
demonizing
that's,
the whole
that's
segments of the
when
population.
When we started demonizing.
Well, my friend,
whole
let me just
the,
say, they are demons.
That's when we started
they are
demonizing demons.
In the woods.
That's right. That's when we started demonizing demons. Was Hot Stuff? Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Hot Stuff is demonizing demons.
Well, he's a demon.
Hot Stuff is an odd character, really.
He is. Yes, well, he's an imp more than he.
Yeah,
is
he's
a.
not a demon. He's
no.
A, yeah.
He just happens to have all the powers of Satan.
Yeah, that's
he happens
right.
To look like Satan, and to make it especially disturbing, he wears a diaper, which means he's incontinent, which means at some point he is pooping his pants with some flaming mess. And do you think he changes his own diaper? Let me tell you, sir, he does not.
It might not be a flaming mess. He might just poop coal. Because he's done with it. Right? It's waste. If he's pooping flame, he's still using it.
Wow, that is a good point.
Thank you.
He poops coal. Does he urinate flames like Ghost Rider does in the most recent trailer for the Ghost Rider movie?
Does he urinate flames?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Do any other Harvey characters have a diaper? Yes, the duck.
The duck.
The baby.
No, that is Harvey. Yeah,
baby
Huey.
Baby Huey, yes.
Yeah,
baby yeah. Huey also wears a diaper.
Well, he's a baby. So he would wear a diaper.
Clearly. But Hot Stuff seems to be the same age as Richie Rich and Casper, and yet he's wearing a
for
diaper.
Some
explain.
Reason, well, I think for some reason people were put ill at ease at the idea of a demon, a little imp, with a devilish tail and horns running around buck naked. So they needed to add the diaper. Like, Casper doesn't wear a diaper.
No.
Richie Rich doesn't wear a diaper.
Well, he wears a full set of clothes. How do you know? He could wear an adult diaper.
I would assume
he's... Maybe that's why he's a poor little rich boy, is like he can't control his bowels.
He's incontinent.
Like, so one thing you don't see is just like, I've got all the money in the world. Oh, but I'd give it all up if I could control my sphincter.
That's right. The poor little rich boy. But
then he takes his diaper off and it's full of coins.
It's full of coins.
Because that's like the cover of every Richie Rich. Yeah, it's just like, I found extra money that I didn't expect, or something's covered in a dollar sign.
Well, I think that idea, that conceit of him being the poor little rich boy, became rather limited. So obviously, by the time we were reading it, and if you were like me, you were reading the digests that were available everywhere you went.
Oh, yeah, I read the comics. I read the digest. Mm-hmm. I read Richie Rich and Cadbury. I'd read Richie Rich and Casper. I read the whole thing. Richie Rich and Casper.
And Jackie Jokers.
Oh, Jackie Jokers was great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he was a stand-up comedian.
But, yes, that's right. But also
another
like,
rich, another good. That's another good character, because as a kid, you come to a certain point where you go, I want to tell jokes.
Yeah.
I want to tell jokes. By the way, I always say, like, if you ever like hate a person who's got children, here's how you get back at them. You just tell the kid what a knock knock joke is,
yeah,
and let him at it. And now the parent's life is a nightmare for a couple of years.
It's terrible.
But the kids want to,
particularly when the concept of humor is still kind of vague to them.
Yep, no idea. Knock knock. Who's there?
Just
knock knock.
Me.
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 Knock, who's there? Pie. Pie.
Daddy.
Who?
Hey, daddy.
Apple pie.
Daddy. Daddy, daddy, what, dear? Daddy, daddy, what? What do you want? Why did the chicken cross the road? I don't know. Why did the chicken cross the road? Because he's a chicken. Get it, Dad? Daddy, that's funny, isn't it? Isn't that funny? Yes, dear, that's very funny. It's very quite. I'm splitting my side right now.
Well, it's bad now that parents can't beat their children. Back then, it would just be a quick backhand from Papa, that's and that would be the end of that.
That's right.
And again, as I always say, I don't agree with hitting children, but once we stopped doing it, they all became allergic to peanuts.
That's true.
Every one of them. Like something, I think when you strike a child, you knock the peanut allergy out of
them. The cure for peanut allergy is spanking.
Yeah.
Or slapping.
Or perhaps just fear of spanking.
Fear of spanking. Like the dad's arm weaving over the back seat at you in the back, or, you know, that's very fear inducing. But the fact is that your dad probably couldn't have done very much. He was driving a car and simultaneously trying to hit you.
Well, I mean, if you really are, okay, we'll take you back.
Did that ever happen to you when you were?
Yes, completely.
Okay. I didn't know if I was speaking to an isolated incident.
If we're in the last quarter of the show, I can get into my abusive childhood. But back then, children did not have to wear seatbelts. So it's ridiculous for the dad to be reaching back, because child can now get out of the way. Mm-hmm. What the dad must do is just swerve the car quickly, smashing the child back and forth, as you would in that Quentin Tarantino movie.
Death Proof.
Death Proof, that's right. Dad just has to pull a Death Proof and just start whipping the car back, fishtailing a bit, and then you're knocking into your sister. That's how you do it.
So you have to have a car that's completely metal inside. There can be no, like,
yeah, I'm talking the
comfort.
70s. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we just sat on metal seats in the 70s.
And also,
the
they would throw us sometimes not in the trunk, but in that space that was behind the seat that was, like, just under the glass. And you'd go there and, like, what a treat this is. I can lie down. I can do whatever. And,
that was great. Well, when I was a little kid, my mom drove a old car, like a 57 Chevy or 57 Bel Air or something like that. And when she stopped, the passenger seat, i.e. the seat I was sitting in as a 4 or 5 year old, would fold forward. So I would be squished by the seat. And whenever she would brake, it would just flop forward, pushing my head between my legs.
Right.
Every time.
Which is why stopped. You are hyper flexible right now.
Well,
which is how you were able to join the Chinese circus.
That's right. Well, but then she started to put her arm out. When she stopped, she would put her arm out to stop the seat from...
Yes.
So even when we were teenagers in a completely different car, whenever she would stop, she would still put her arm out, like this habit that she had formed over years.
I know
years.
Someone who used to do that. Again, they had that habit, and they picked it up from their mom, and they would whip their hand out, but they would whip it out too fast and like slug you every time. It would just be, what did you just, why are you hitting me? It's just like, oh, I don't know, my mom used to do
you
that.
Deserved
Your mom
it.
Used to just hit you randomly in the car. No, it was to protect me. One, that will not protect you. And two, don't, I'm not your child. And three, stop hitting me.
Well, you deserved it.
No, I'm not saying I didn't.
Okay.
But there's a difference between deserving it and accepting it.
I have to say, my mom was always very gentle. Like, we never were, like, hit or anything. Mm-hmm. too much.
She let the car.
In that instant, let the car speak for.
That's
right. That's right. If we were acting up, she just slammed on the brakes, and I was folded up in the seat.
It's so strange because, like, you know, now, you know, I have like a nephew when he was like seven. We were going to take him somewhere. I was like, well, you need the safety seat. Mm-hmm. It's like for seven. Like 7 years
old.
Yeah,
no, it goes quite long now.
Yeah.
It's to a certain weight.
I could sort of see, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, a 1 year old, completely 1 year old, 2 year old, yes, three, mm-hmm. four, five, I don't know, about six, are you sure? Seven, ridiculous.
What? Are they in school at age seven?
In school?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're in school, yeah. But, you're in school at five.
Oh, really?
Kindergarten is 5 years old.
I can't remember now. This is a long time ago for me, people. Sorry.
Yeah, so kindergarten is five.
I've had two daughters go through school, but I can't remember when they started.
It doesn't sound like you sent your daughters to school. I know, At seven, do they have to go to school? You know?
I walked into school every day. I went and picked them up
every day.
Just
got to call your wife up. Hey, did we send this kids to school?
Did we? What age did they?
Are they in their teens now?
I have to admit, you should send them to school. Well, I don't think of my life in terms of age, like from that time. I think of it in terms of grade. You know, like I think when I was in grade three, blah, 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 blah. When I was in grade seven, blah, blah, blah. I saw Star Wars in grade five. That's how I, you know, I don't think I saw Star Wars in 1977.
Mm-hmm.
I was in grade five and anyway.
I just dated myself. I think of it in terms of years just because I spent as little time in school as I possibly could.
I loved school.
Ah, that's good that someone did. Nice. Biggest wasted time of my life.
I didn't love school work.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, any teacher I had will attest the fact that I avoided it as much as I could.
We're very opposite in that I didn't mind school work. I just disliked every other element of school.
See, I like the social part of school.
That's great.
Being there with friends and yakking and playing during lunch.
Incredibly different. I hated recess. I hated lunchtime. I thought it was a big waste of time. I even hated like sitting in class and listening to the teacher go over things. I'm just like, I got the book in front of me. Yeah, I get it. And I got to like now listen. Oh, it's the biggest frustration to me in the world, which carries on to this day, which is where, you know, I'm with other people and I've got to like wait it out with the rest of them. Like I used to work over on a show in Halifax at the CBC and I'd be done with my work every day at like about 11 a.m. And I had to stick around. I had to stick around till like 5.
Why?
Because you had to be there because you're hired to be there from 9 to 5.
Oh, okay.
But like I get the stuff done. It was the same thing like almost every job I've ever had, you know. I work like in an office or work in a shop or work somewhere and like I'll get it done and then you got to just fiddle around for the rest of the day and kill time, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say like most of what most jobs are is just, you know, looking like you're doing something. It's just filling that time.
That's my job.
Yeah.
Completely right.
Yeah.
I just spend a lot of time looking like I'm doing something. In fact, I don't even do anything anymore. I built a little machine that moves my arms randomly up and down at various points during the day. So if someone's walking by, they're like, oh, look, Dave's doing nothing. Oh, no, he moved his arm up in the air. He must be doing something.
That's why I work for myself now. It's just because it's so weird going into like almost any situation and having to fit. Like, I don't like lying to people.
Okay, but that's true. But you are always complaining about your boss.
Was I?
You always are.
Oh, me, because I work for myself?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a self-loathing thing. That's a completely different situation. I still like me more than I like my other bosses. Because, yeah, most of it was just, like, getting in there and, like, here's an example. Like, I worked at a movie theater, and I thought, this is going to be great, because I like movies.
Yeah, yeah, movies are great.
And I don't mind cleaning up a bit. I'm fine with that. But here was the moment that I kind of changed it for me, or changed my life, frankly. I'm there, I'm working in the movie theater, and I've cleaned the floor, and it's real clean.
Yeah.
And my boss comes out and goes, hey, Boothby, first of all, it's great when people call you by your last name.
I hate that.
Yeah, it's great. So anyway, you know, maybe call me Mr. Boothby, maybe call me Ian, but you know, you call me Boothby, and like, I'm not in the army, all right? Okay, you're not sending me off to war.
It's not public school here.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's like, hey, Boothby, you gotta clean that floor. It's like, oh, I just did. Yeah. Well, you know, clean it again. Look busy. Like, clean it again. Look busy. Like, I've already cleaned the popcorn off the floor. Like, I can't. Should I throw more popcorn down? And I was like, I did it too fast, I guess, because I efficiently did it. And then I went like, what's this all about? But then I realized he had a boss, and his boss was looking at him, and he had to look busy, and his way of looking busy was telling me to look busy.
Yeah.
And then I realized work is bullshit. I went, oh, I've been actually trying to complete something. And I went, no, this is all bullshit. I've just got to pretend like I'm doing something, and then you'll pretend that you're supervising me, and then he'll pretend something. And it's like, well, this is just a dumb waste of all of our time. And yeah, that carried on to almost every job I ever had. When I worked in the comic book store, I'd file everything. I'd be done. I wouldn't steal, much like the person I was working with. You know, I was a good employee, and I'd get done. And then this guy, because he was like Johnny Slackoff, would like be like doing his stuff still through the day. Boss would come by, see like, hey, you should work as hard as him. I'm like, you fucking idiot. You know, like, I'm already done. You know, I'm actually what you want in an employee. Yeah, so I realized generally work is bullshit, and almost every job that I've ever succeeded in, I've been able to like keep my own hours and just, you know, do things.
Well, I think that's, well, there's the takeaway for the show this week. Work is bullshit. And I hope that, you know, listeners are letting their children listen to this show so they can learn that as well.
There's an explicit warning on here, and you know what? Work is bullshit. For the most part, you know, we have, I guess I feel similarly to what I feel in school, which is like you have an arbitrary amount of time that you've got to be there. And so much of it is just plain filler, you know, and you know what? You don't live forever. So if you're at that job, you know, and you don't get those hours back. And it just drives me mental.
But, you know, if it wasn't for work, I would never have time to watch YouTube videos. Because I don't have time for that at home. I'm way too busy there. Mm-hmm. At work, I often have to, you know, I often have the spare moments to, you know, go to a website, watch a YouTube video.
Watch a cat fall off a ladder.
Watch a cat fall off a ladder. Watch a cat sneak up on a person with a camera.
Watch a couple of girls with one cup. Yeah, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. It does justify it.
Yeah.
It does justify it completely.
Well, I thought when you were telling me that your movie story, that you're going to be sitting in the theater with a big bag of popcorn watching the movie, and then your boss walks up to you, it's kind of like, what?
Well, I'll tell you something that was great, because that guy was a bit of a dick to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then cut to, I'm going to use a movie term, cut to,
okay.
2 years later, and my friend Dean...
Time dissolved.
I've left that job.
Okay.
And my friend Dean is in the X-Files, and he's in the X-Files movie, and the X-Files movie in town is premiering at that theater. He invites me to that.
Nice.
So I'm invited to that. So I've gone to that theater since I've like left,
mm-hmm.
but it's not been a big deal. So anyway, I'm there with him and the other guys who play. Dean plays a character in the show that's one of the lone gunmen. He's like the computer nerds,
mm-hmm.
and so we're there. And the creator of the X-Files, Chris Carter, is there as well. And we're all kind of just having a talk.
Yeah.
And then my boss comes out, like hoping to be introduced to Chris Carter, and like tries to introduce himself to Chris Carter, and is going down the line like, "Hi, Chris." It's like, "Oh, I'm a big fan." And he said, "Dean, hey, how you doing?" "Oh, really big fan." And then it comes to me, and he says, and I'm just like, "Hey, how's it going? How are you?"
Nice.
"I'm here at the premiere."
Nice.
"Yeah, you know, yeah, okay, good to see you." And it was just like, oh, this is sweet.
The weird part of that story is that you worked at a porn theater.
That's right. Oh, it was the Triple X Files.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I said the bone gunman, right?
That's right.
Yes,
I remember that.
Okay, good. I'm glad. It was actually really fun because, one, I did like the movie, but then the director was also sitting behind me. So at the end of the movie, I was able to like turn around to him and went, "Hey, good film." And he went, "Really? Did you like it?" It's like, "Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah, we really worked hard on it." "Oh, good." It was just like such a nice feeling to be able to to do that.
Wow.
It's like you should watch all movies with the director behind you and just be able to go, "Hey."
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. That was a good day.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, didn't you?
No.
It's okay. Well, the other nice thing about that was when I was visiting Dean in L.A., I was visiting with him and my friend Roger. We both went down there, and he showed us the set of the movie while it was being shot.
Okay.
And one of the neatest things, literally one of the coolest thing was there was kind of an alien ship that we went into, and it had to be kept ice cold because of an effect they were doing in there. And it was just blazing hot outside, and you just went in and just went, wow. One, you were in an alien ship, and it looked amazing. But then also, this is so refreshing. Oh, being an actor, stay cool. Oh, this is so nice. And so when I saw the movie and saw that scene, I still felt cool and refreshed.
Yeah, only they're doing the scene in their underwear, and they weren't so happy.
Yeah, that's right. It was a porno. We've established
that's
that.
That's right. I forgot about that part of it.
That's right. All of my friends work in the porn industry.
Can you think of a pun with "the truth is out there"? Is that what it's...
Your dick is out there.
It's not really a pun, but I like it.
Not really. I'm glad.
Okay. Well, on that note...
Ugh! We end on the worst notes. The last note of every concert we do is the cat taking a shit on the piano. All right.
Your dick is out there. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to Sneaky Dragon.
Yeah, thank you very much. If you're in the Vancouver area and you want to come see a show that I'm doing, I do one every week called Amuse Bouche over at Slickety Jim's Chat and Chew. I do one once a month called Titmouse over at the Cosmic Zoo. And if you while you're here on the internet, why not download an episode of The Irrelevant Show from CBC Radio? I also write for that. It's a little sketch comedy show on there.
I have nothing.
What? You really nothing? Is there nothing? Dave works so hard for a guy that says he's got nothing. He edits the show. He does the little title cards. He writes. I put little clips up, and then he makes fun of my clips. He works so very hard, you know. And I always feel bad at the end where it sounds like you do nothing, which is absolutely you make shelves.
You fix sinks. I'm currently.
And as I said, anyone who's a fan of the show can come visit you at your home. That's an open invitation to come and help build shelves.
Come on in.
If you do go, ask Dave to show you his drawing table because it really is quite excellent. You know what, Dave? I would say...
I'll also show you my etchings.
And they're out there. I would say, Dave, you should put a picture of that drawing table up on our website.
Well, maybe I will. Maybe I'll put... Actually, I have a little process photos I took while I was making it, so maybe I'll put them up.
I really think you should. And then, whenever we fail at what we're doing here and you go back to the old drawing board, you can actually see Dave's drawing board that he goes back to and openly weeps on.
That's right.
After every show, back on the drawing board, big heaping sobs, his daughter's outside, Daddy, Daddy, are you crying? And do we ever go to school? I don't know. I don't understand math.
When do you start?
I only think in terms of grades. We are three grades of sad, Father.
All right. Well...
Really? That's the end? Okay.
I think, well, it's...
Awkward pause.
We're at an hour.
We are at an hour. Okay. Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate it, listening to our nonsense.
Because people are working on a treadmill. If we go too long, we're going to kill them.
And then they'll do that George Jetson thing where they fall asleep, go underneath.
Somebody, Jane, turn this crazy thing. Oh, is that what it is? Crazy
Jane, enough? Stop this crazy thing.
Stop this crazy thing. I can never remember stuff like that. I'm pathetic.
Yeah, well, you know, back to the old drawing board.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
I'll just start all over.
Idiot. Here.